Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on nature for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media to just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them. Straight from Mike P.
Jump on your bike, let's hit the road.
Come on.
Fuck the 5-0, man, we out of control.
Hey.
I'm a bad motherfucker, riding through the night. A 50 motherfucker and I love
come on
bike. Picture me rolling on my chopper on rims. No love for the other side, no need to be friends. Get the gas, homie, you gotta keep on pushing. Got an out, chin, check the dose, and need an ass for the ticket after ticket. Man, I ain't gon' pay.
Yeah.
Better do 30 days locked up in CJ.
Let's
twist the throttle, let's get the rolling.
Yeah.
My drag pipes on my bike, get the
hey.
Blow in. A third motherfucker street calling
hey.
Me. Like a mom calls the kids when it's time to eat.
Come
don't
on.
Approach me, homie, like the shit all good. I'm like half the motherfuckers
hey.
That live in my hood. I'm a 10-year rolling to the bone. With 10 in the clip and
blow.
One in the hole. Fuck what you heard, homie. I'ma always
shit.
Hit a ball. My homeboys might rubber, but we never ever fall.
Come
at
on.
The end of the day, we can always stand tall.
Shit.
The gov don't like me, oh fucking well.
Yeah.
I guess you could call me the angel from hell.
Well, hello there.
Hey.
What's happening?
Hello.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Hey. Hello.
Sorry. I was delayed.
Yeah, today's April 6th. We're waiting on Bill, but how's it going over there?
Which one are you talking to?
That's why I stay quiet. I thought I was talking to you. You got two blinds today. Deal with it.
Yeah. Yeah, some in the air today with everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, I noticed that myself, too, today when I was out and about. Everybody's got a little bit of hyperness. Or I think the warmer weather is starting to bring out all the idiots, but that's my... personal assumption.
Yeah.
I have to agree. Anyways, it's fine here. Okay, we're done.
Huh?
Yeah.
I said
no,
it's fine here.
It's good. It was 79 and sunny here. It's about 68 with a slight breeze right now.
It was 75 here yesterday. It's been shorts.
Yeah, it'll be 89 tomorrow.
Well,
you can keep that shit. I just like 70s.
It's warming up here, but I'm still wearing long sleeves, hoodies, and t-shirts. I'm still laying three things deep because I just can't seem to get the cold out of my bones this year. So.
Yeah, that's how it was here last year. Ugh, yeah. Anyhow, so how is the belated birthday girl? What'd you do?
I did absolutely nothing. I turned 46. I was humbled. I mean, like, I'm totally blown out with social media and, like, over 200 happy birthdays. That's like, I'm stuck on stupid with that, you know? I was overjoyed. That was the best birthday party ever with a bunch of people that I wasn't hanging with. But we're all, you know, me and my girls and a couple of different other people, we're all hanging out Saturday. We're going to an authentic Mexican place, and we're going to eat some good food, pound some margaritas, and head over to a little watering hole in Fall River called Boondocks because they've got my local band playing. And this particular band is off the hook. So, good times.
That's cool.
Good time. Yeah.
So, did you sign up for your benefits yet?
Oh, Jesus Christ. You know.
I saw that I had to, not knocking
yeah,
your
no,
age, because you're not old by any age, but, I mean, yeah. At any means. But you keep saying that you're old, and I thought, oh, this one will make her laugh.
It did because my kid brother keeps saying you're 50 now, right? I'm like, no, four more years. I said I'm on the four year package. It goes like this: 4 years, my son will be done with school. 4 years, my car loan will be done. 4 years, I'm packing up, and in 4 years, I'll be on the West Coast. So I am definitely on a 4 year thing. So.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll be 50. I'll be 50 when I hit that West Coast, and that'll be all right. You know, I will have matured in four more years.
I hear you. So, Phil, the weather has been great.
Yeah.
What's new and exciting in your neighborhood besides the weather?
Oh, Bill's going to the Yuma prison run.
Oh, sweet.
It's going to take Bob, our friend Bob. Yeah. And a few other people are going, but I got prior engagements. I'm not going.
Cool.
I'll be at least the East Coast's biggest bike blessing, you know, on the upper portion on May 3rd in Providence, Rhode Island. It's always a good time, a lot of vendors, a lot of music, a lot of bikes, a lot of blessings in many different ways. And it's outside, whatever, you know. But in this area, that's kind of like the official kickoff to riding season, because then shortly after that, we go into Laconia, which is in June, which is a major bike, you know, event. People who ride on the East Coast know this. But, Rhode Island's blessing of the bikes has become, like, a key focal thing for all us local riders. Anybody who rides or rides on the back, it's all the chatter. You know, you have to go to this particular event to kick off your season right. And every time I've gone, there's been no problems, no craziness. Everybody's always happy-go-lucky. Everybody's respectful. It's always a socially good event, you know. And with luck, there won't be no rain because it seems like they always nail a really good day. And I'll be in my new car. So, you know, I'm pretty – it's, you know, pretty geeked. So that, I told a bunch of my friends, I said, I'm going to park my car closer than usual. I said, so when old boy comes around with the water, I said, I can make sure he hits my car and says, no transmission problem. So, you know, that's the game plan anyways, you know. So
that's, I had cool.
A 14-day countdown going on until I get my butt in my car. And you know, the rest is good because the car that I'm driving around in right now, I can't go over 25 miles per hour because it doesn't shift.
Wow.
Yeah, so, you know, hence the word Fall River, Mass. Fall River means, like, you know, falling water from hills, and that's what Fall River is, all hills. So I have to track the straight and narrow back roads, the uncharted pavement, to make sure that I'm not climbing hills in that car, because it's not good. It's not good at all.
Wow.
So, yeah, but it's all the, you know, technicalities with car paperwork and waiting for titles to come in and waiting for this and waiting for that. So, you know, I don't understand how people, you know, go to a car lot and they drive home in the car the same day, because it's never actually worked that way with me. So if you get that lucky, you're doing good.
Right. Well, the big motorcycle event here that kicks off in June is what they call the Freedom Run, and that's big. It's normally... they have it south of where I'm at, but this year it's only going to be 5 miles up the road from me as their starting point. So that's cool. You know, bikes come in from everywhere, and that's pretty much anybody and everybody in it.
Yeah, well,
just
who doesn't...
that out there.
Chicago's an awesome place to be in the summertime, you know? I mean,
right.
If you got two good feet and you can, you know, walk from A to B and park your car somewhere and enjoy the city, that's, you know, Chicago's a nice city. It's like, it's a hidden gem almost, you know, because people always resort to either the West Coast or, like, New York. And, I mean, Chicago's mentioned here and there, but people just don't realize how beautiful of a city it actually is. If you haven't experienced it, then people need to go to Chicago. It's a good spot to vacation, summertime, right on Lake Michigan, Navy Pier. You guys got pizza. I can't wait to have some pizza.
Definitely going to get that because... Well,
absolutely.
I can't say if New York is better than here or not because some people say New York is better than Chicago. I've never had New York. All I've had
I like
is Chicago. So to me, it's Chicago.
Yeah, I mean, I like them both. Chicago's got a little bit more of a thicker crust where people in New York kind of fold their pizza in half. It's a very thin, not so much crispy. It's got a little bit of... I don't know, sponginess to it, whatever you want to call that. But, yeah, I think they're both just, they hold a first-class spot, and there'll always be an argument about that. But I like both of them. They're both good pizzas. What kind of pizza you got in California, Mr. Phil?
You can get any kind you want.
Well, I mean, like, which way do people lean more towards, a Chicago style or, like, a New York style?
There is no such thing out here as the Chicago style. No, I take that back. There is. Joe Montagna owns a place called Taste of Chicago up in L.A. Pretty good food. Closest place I've found, except going back to get some from Chicago.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't...
You have Little Caesars, Papa John's, Domino's.
All the franchise.
All the franchise stuff that, yeah... You know.
That's garbage.
Yeah.
I don't eat that stuff.
I mean,
yeah, we have.
They, I mean, who gets pizza with pineapple on it? You know, that's just.
I do. I love Hawaiian pizza with ham and pineapple. That's the bomb. But you can only eat it hot. That stuff cold is like not good. But like when it's hot right out of the oven, yeah, I used to wolf that stuff down. It was good stuff. I like pineapple and ham pizza. Got my mom eating it, too, because she said the same thing. She's like, who the hell eats pineapple out of pizza? I'm like, try a bite. Got her hooked. You ever had it, Phil?
No.
You should. It's good stuff.
I never tried pineapple on pizza, but I've had pizza that doesn't have a bread sauce. It's kind of like a Parmesan butter garlic sauce.
White sauce.
Yeah, with chicken and green peppers, where it tastes just like a Philly steak sandwich. Oh my God. That is to die for. Sorry.
Go ahead. Finish.
No, I was just going to say. You go.
I can't have the white sauce because of the carbohydrate factor. I can't even have pizza, but like when anybody around me has pizza, I have to steal a bite. Just one bite, you know?
Right.
Just to get my pizza fix. So, you know, my nieces and nephews will make fun of me because they'll be eating pizza and I'll come by and like rip off the cheese on top of their pizza and they're like, what the hell? I'm like, hey, gotta have a bite.
I always figured that California pizza, to be honest, because you always hear about people in California eat like bean sprouts and stuff like that, you know? So I looked at bean sprout type pizza or something. I'm like, ew, that's not pizza.
I don't like bean sprouts at all. Not a fan.
Yeah.
Either.
But Phil, what's a signature dish that's out in Chicago? you know, besides like fish tacos and authentic Southwestern Mexican food that's so good and yummy. But what is like a real, like a signature food that California is like, you know, known for?
Doesn't have. Oh, yeah, you said Chicago.
No, I said California.
No, the first time you said Chicago. Or yeah, were you referring like the difference? Like, well, yeah, I mean, he could, you know, specify on that one. What is good here as a signature food that there isn't any like out in California? You know.
Yeah, I was just wondering, what. I'm saying hi to my nieces. They just texted us, and they said that they're listening to the show. Hi, nieces to pieces. That's kind of cool. But, no, I just want to know, like, when you go to California, what is the talk of, you know, when you go out there to visit or you move, what do the locals say, Phil, you know, you have to try this certain dish? I've seen some of the, like, the restaurant photos and stuff online of the different foods, like, down in your area, and I must admit, although we've got an Italian thing going on in this area, and we've got a couple of different other things, you guys, with the Southwestern Mexican stuff is, like, off the hook. And I keep telling everybody, I just want to taste some of that food down there, honestly. Because, I mean, when you see this stuff online, you guys use a lot of fresh local ingredients. You guys are big on, like Nora was saying, the bean sprouts and different greens and stuff like that, because you guys have got the weather to be able to keep that stuff going. But I'm definitely jealous, definitely, because the only thing we've got for Mexican food out here is there's a couple of swanky restaurants. I'm going to one Saturday that are, you know, about as authentic gets for this area. But the only thing we got is, like, Taco Bell. And that's what that is if you're constipated, you go to Taco Bell and all that ails you will not ail you after eating some of those. That place is horrible. It should shut down. I don't know of one person that hasn't had a stomach sickening Taco Bell experience.
You sure wasn't going there after the bar closed?
No, let me tell you something. I was always the smart chick that said, I'm not putting that in my system at 3:00 in the morning. I'm like, let's go for breakfast, you know? And no, but you always have a couple of people that want them 99-cent tacos, and they're like ailing afterwards. It's not good.
Well, you guys on the East Coast, I don't even know if they'd have them on the West Coast. I know Phil would know about it. Is there like a White Castle out on the East Coast or the West Coast?
You can buy White Castles at one of the stores there.
In the store, yeah.
Okay. Well, oh, hello. We have White Castle in New York.
Sorry.
They are originally New York based. It's a fast food chain, and they make little tiny like sliders. Those are their hamburgers.
Right.
You know, but there are a few White Castle joints still left open, but a lot of the stuff has gone to the frozen section, you know, but you have to go to New York. You know, that's the only places that I know that they exist is in New York.
Right.
We
have them here, but you can get them in the store frozen. Right. Sorry.
They taste like shit when you cook them.
Yeah. I was pregnant with my daughter, and I had friends go up to New York because I wanted White Castle burgers, and they did. They went up there and brought me back like 16 burgers. And, you know, the thought behind it was like awesome, but by the time, you know, a 3-hour journey north and then 3 hours back, by the time I got to them, they could have been frozen because they were like hockey pucks. But I was very appreciative. You know, the thought was definitely, you know, awesome.
Yeah, it all depends on where you get them from. You know, it's like they have what they call a Chicago dog. It's not a Chicago dog.
It's got a pickle and relish on it or something like that? Pickle and tomatoes?
Pickle and mustard. Is actually the in like seasoning salt is the typical, the actual like Chicago hot dog. Everybody else seems to think like adding tomatoes and everything else to it, that's what makes it. No, typically it's supposed to be just a pickle and mustard.
Huh.
Yeah,
but it doesn't matter, they're still good.
Out here it's mustard, relish, a pickle, onions, a couple of chili peppers,
and
tomatoes.
Over here, we got New York-style Coney Island dogs, and they consist of a can Frank that's been blessed, and they put a spicy meat sauce on top of it, mustard, chopped up really, really fine smothered onions on top, and celery salt. That's how we do it here, with a steamed bun.
Wow.
Anything else, they consider unethical. And it's unethical here to even talk about putting a pickle on a hot dog. People get freaked out.
Well, I mean, we got a good hot dog joint here. I don't know, like, where they're at. I think it's only in Illinois. But they have a joint here. It's called Portello's. And,
yeah.
Oh, my God, they have... Whenever, like, Megan and I have gotten hot dogs from there, is chili cheese with tomatoes and onions on it. Oh, my freaking God. You can have, like, five of them, and you'll be a happy camper. But Portillo's is a big, you know, like, food chain here.
Okay. Well, I'm going to tell you this. We just made my niece is hungry. They're texting me saying they want Taco Bell. They live right up the street from Taco Bell. It's so bad. I tell them all the time, don't put that garbage in your system. They don't listen to me. And because we're talking about it, they're telling me they want Taco Bell. I can't. Them girls need a history. And good food.
This is 774. Go ahead.
That's Jessica. Hello, Miss Jessica.
Hello, Miss Stacy.
How is the river doing tonight? Is all quiet in the city?
Oh, yeah.
I'd like to announce to the world, this is my niece, Jess. She's a smart girl. She knows her stuff, and... you can't get anything over on her, and that's a fact. She's a good girl. She's a good girl.
You're going to make me cry. I have to say.
It's okay. People cry here.
Miss Stacy.
What?
She said hi.
Who said hi? Shante?
Yeah.
Oh, she's there too. Hello, niece to peace number two. Shante.
Number one.
All right. Hey, Phil, Shante is the one who wanted to know what was going on with SeaWorld. When I asked you on the last show, you know, about them doping up the killer whales with Valium, and they're kind of like just floating around, not doing anything. They're the ones that wanted to know what was going on with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I told them what you said. You drive by it every day. And all was quiet, but you know, Shante is a big advocate for the killer whales and creatures of largeness. They need to be put in the water.
Yeah, make the news, everyone. Nothing special going on. They're actually trying to give away shit to get people to come.
Wow.
Really?
Of course they would. All kinds of customers.
Nah, well, you know, it's like anything else. Remember how, Nori, remember how Riverview was? Or are you too young for that?
No, I remember.
And one day it was there, and then the next day it was gone.
I know.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Been there forever, and then it just disappeared. And I think that's what's going to happen to SeaWorld.
Mm-hmm. That's what should happen.
Yep, it definitely should, because I think they, like I had said the last time, I believe in aquariums to kind of show you the local fishes, the local corals, how the eco-balance works. But when you're dealing with creatures that are 200, 300, 1,000 pounds, no, they don't belong caged up. Even the animals in the zoos and stuff. I had read something a couple of days ago that the black rhino is officially extinct. It's officially no more. And the only reason it was hunted was strictly for its the black horns there that they have, the ivory horns. But yeah, it's
the
officially
gone. They're not the tusks, but yeah, I know what you're talking about. And it's sad.
Yeah, it is, because you would think that, you know, with all the people we got doing things for animals and everything else, but it's the poachers. The poachers are going in and they're getting top dollar for things that they don't belong poaching, you know? The only thing you belong poaching is a damn egg in the morning. That's it, you know? It's not right to do that stuff.
I know.
So, you know, we had
animals. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to gear off subject. I was going to say, tonight we had this local special edition of the extension to the local news on Mr. Hernandez and the trial, and it kind of made me sick to my stomach, because, you know, the local people who get tried 5 days a week, they don't have these special interviews, et cetera, et cetera. And the only thing that really gets me upset with that is, of course, there's going to be an appeal process, because everybody's entitled to that. But the thing is that Mr. Hernandez was only convicted on circumstantial evidence. They're interviewing all these jurors on TV that at any moment in time can say something wrong. Or, like, I was watching one juror tonight saying that she, you know, they were instructed not to show emotion, and she said, I was all emotional inside with the family that was there of the person who was deceased. And then they were asking, you know, which members of the jury were Patriot fans and different things like that. And you know, I believe that the jury should be protected. They're doing their civic obligation, whatever. But I feel the media needs to stop putting jurors' faces and stuff all over the news, because, you know, this was a serious trial. This was a murder trial. And repercussions and different things, you know, people get a little bit crazy. And it's like, why would you want to put the faces of these jurors that had this important decision to make on someone, quote unquote, who was famous? And I don't agree with any of that. I don't agree with, you know, court TV and all that other baloney. But I feel that, you know, if the jurors are doing their civic obligation and they're doing what they're supposed to do, we don't need to broadcast their faces and what they think, feel, etc. They've done their job. At the end of the day, everybody goes home. But because it affects the New England Patriot fans and it's right here in the heart of it all, we're going to make it a big to-do. That's just like when stuff goes down in any other state that involves a celebrity. Why do we have to put the jurors, the judge, and everybody else on display? There's no winners when it comes down to these type of trials, because somebody's going to jail for a long time, or somebody's looking at the death penalty, and somebody has lost a family member. There's no winners, none. So why do we glorify such tragedies, such tragic events, and why do we cash in on all this, you know, mainstream media hype, when stuff like that, when it's done and over with, it needs to be put away. You know, we shouldn't be seeing it for the next 4 weeks on TV. Enough people have been hurt, enough families have been torn apart, that it needs to just be quiet. And I don't, that's my personal opinion. It's not to insult anybody who believes things should be done differently, but that's the way I feel. I feel our jury should not be put out there. And the jury pool to the Hernandez trial actually was ridiculed by a lot of Fall River locals who thought that being interviewed right afterwards and they were engaging in, you know, smiles, et cetera, they were being condemned for that. And I'm looking at it like 7 days in a room with X amount of people you don't know jack about, that you have to make the most important decision of your life. As a matter of fact, they stopped everything because one of them wanted to have a cigarette. And the judge was told that if one smokes and goes out, everybody takes a break. Nobody's to be left in the room without the right number of people, which I can understand that. But what people didn't take into consideration, that these people, they put their families aside, they put work aside, they put obligations aside, they put everything aside. So why in the hell not can they come out and smile or do whatever, you know, made them happy? Because, you know, they all feel that on some level they've made the right decision. And again, it's damned if you do, damned if you don't. That's why I don't believe on, you know, that these people should be put right out there. And I was horrified with what I saw tonight. I don't believe in that. And, I mean, when the Hernandez trial was going on, there was bomb threats that came into the courthouse. Two courthouses, as a matter of fact. You know, so I don't know, I don't think it's a good thing, and I think in time they'll put a jury pool on TV and they'll talk their hoop de la, and somebody with, you know, half an ass or half a brain is gonna do something stupid, you know, and I don't know. I just I don't agree with it. I don't know if anybody else has input on that, but that's what I think.
Well, this is what I look at. Anybody can sit there and be put on a jury, okay? They select and they put people on a jury. I have to agree with you on, in regards to interviewing jurors. They shouldn't be doing that. They shouldn't be putting their faces out there. Because in case... And you got to put it in this type of scenario. In case if they're locking up the wrong person, there's someone out there. You know what I mean? And
yeah,
what
and,
I don't like
and,
about when they choose for a jury is they sit there, they, the defendants, or, you know, the one that's saying they're trying to save their own ass knows exactly your name, where you live, where you work. Why put that out there? Why does the judicial system have to sit there and do that?
Well, the thing, too, that you know, I thought was kind of in poor taste on Mr. Hernandez's part was after the jury, you know, the judge had read the verdict, he spoke to them. He told them they were all wrong, and he was not nice about it.
Right.
So, you know, and that tell, you know, that just looks like it does it, to me. It's not a good recipe. It's a recipe
right.
for disaster, and eventually something stupid is going to happen, you know.
Right.
And I mean, I'm not saying that he's guilty. I'm not saying that he's not guilty. I'm saying he was found guilty on all circumstantial evidence.
Okay.
None of it
right.
is hardcore. Like, linked to him, the story is linked to him, but to say they have actual, like, you know, this is this and that is that, they don't. The
right.
story and the things surrounding the story convicted him. And, you know, that's what I say, if they really felt that he was in the wrong, why are they talking about it on TV? Because, you know, it wasn't a tight sealed case where, you know, we've got this, we've got that, it's directed right to you. It wasn't like
right.
that. So, you know, there's still, like I said, there's the appeal process and things could go in a very different direction. And I feel that interviewing jurors is not good. It's just not good
right.
because they shouldn't have to share their thoughts and their conversations and, you know, what evidence they've seen that the public didn't get to see and different things like that. I just think it puts them in a very vulnerable situation.
Right. And like I said, I agree. And, you know, it used to be back in the day where, you know, it was quiet about jurors' names, everything else. You can look at your top high killing profile cases back in the day, and they were jury one, jury two, you know what I mean, or jury
four. Well, they've made the whole judicial system part of what we call out here Hollywood socialites. It's like, you know, since things like court TV have come into place and everything else, it seems like, you know, this is a glorified thing. When you're at that level where you need a judge and jury, there's nothing glorified. Like I said before, there's no winners. Because if you're at that level, then there are multiple people who are suffering throughout. And it's like, who wins? Nobody, because Mr. Hernandez's family, they're suffering. They're not going to see him again. You know, the person who died, Mr. Odin Lloyd, his family's suffering because they don't have concrete proof that, you know, this is what happened. It's all circumstantial evidence, you know, and they've suffered a loss. So all parties at hand, you know, it's just a tragedy. And I don't know, you know, media is just, they're sick when they glorify this stuff because they make it look like it's all fun and whatever you want to call it, when in reality, you know, being on a jury is important. You know, you're there to make a very important decision, and I don't agree with it.
Well, like I said, and I have to 100% agree with you on that. You know, because the sad thing is, every day, whether if someone is guilty or not, okay, it could be any case scenario. You're still looking at the point, there's a man that went to jail, there's someone that isn't living anymore, and at the end of the day, of course, you know, media has to play into the feed of the emotions of the family or the emotions of the person that was just sentenced to life. You know, what they neglect to realize and think of is how many people are affected by that.
Exactly. And I'm sure there's countless cases that have been spoiled, whether good, bad, or indifferent, due to media sticking their nose in where it doesn't belong. The judicial system was set up the way it was set up, and it seems to change at a rapid rate over the years of, you know, what was 25 years ago and what is now. And I can remember being a kid and watching the news, and whenever a high profile, like Jim Jones, let's just say, Jim Jones, I can remember this thoroughly.
That was a big case. Yeah,
they didn't have live court cameras. They had sketch artists, and you would see those sketches up on the news. You know, this person looked like this, and this person was doing this when this was being said, and that's all you would see. And, you know, and then you would hear what the verdict is, and that would be the end of it. And I really feel that it needs to go back to that.
Right.
But there are some cases. There are some cases where many people have been wronged that the media has benefited, because filming and different things like that prove a person who they're bound to determine is guilty, stuff surfaces and they're not. So it's kind of like a bittersweet line to walk, you know, because like I said, media has gotten a lot of people out of situations where some bad stuff was going to go down, and they've got the proof that the individual just was not part of what they're saying. But then you've got other times where the media just backfires altogether.
Right. And that's, you know, unfortunately, that's the whole thing. And, you know, it's not like the media is going to tell you the truth. The courts aren't going to tell you the truth. Nobody's going to tell you the damn truth. And, you know, so that on top of all the other bullshit, you know, the only thing I look at is what's the sense of having a damn judicial system of any kind, because who the fuck are you going to trust or believe? Hello? You know, anybody could sit there and make a report or sit there and say, well, you know, this person did this. How do you know that for a fact? Were you there?
Exactly.
You know. And, of course, lives get affected by it every single day.
That's the truth.
I have no trust, no faith in the legal system whatsoever. None. They all lie.
Amanda, what do you think about that?
Am I on?
Yeah. I'm talking to you. What do you think about that? You've been listening.
Oh, I agree with everything they're saying.
That's it?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I feel like some people get, some people are charged and, like, get a guilty verdict, and they may not be guilty. Like she said, they don't necessarily know all the facts. So, I don't know.
Okay. By the way, this is my niece, Amanda.
Hi, Amanda.
Hello, Amanda.
Hi.
Oh, God, you're related to him. Oh, we feel for you. No, just kidding. Now you got a good uncle.
Yeah.
Is he really as good looking as what he tells everybody? He's always
Amanda,
saying he's not only
smart. You can stop
well,
by.
You haven't met him
love.
Yet. Yeah, you haven't met him yet. He looks exactly how his picture does. I can say that. But he's taller than me. He's taller than us.
Everybody's taller than you.
You know
so
what?
What's going on in the home front there, Amanda?
What's going on where I am?
Yeah, hey, you know, let me ask you this. Earlier, Stacy was talking about the food in California. Do you remember when you were here? Do you remember when you guys were here?
Yes.
What did you eat while you were here?
I don't know. My husband's boss is Korean, so we had a lot of Korean food, actually.
Oh, boy.
That's what I was trying to say. Everybody goes somewhere different and ends up eating something different from where they go.
Right.
But
every state has its own different ethnicities in regards to food. You know, here, you know, because I'm sure Amanda is in the same state as I am. You know, so you've got Greek, you've got Italian, you've got all different types of food. It's just finding the right place that you like and, you know, or you try something else out. It doesn't matter, you know. And I'm sure California is the same way. Or maybe you have a little bit more Mexican food than what we do.
Yes. We had a lot of that, too.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. I mean, today I had chicken for dinner.
Did you cook, or did Gina cook?
No, I didn't cook.
Oh, so you had takeout.
Absolutely.
Now, do they have decent chicken places around there? Or?
Nah, the only decent places for chicken was Brown's Chicken, or out there on North and First Avenue, where they used to make.
Oh my God! I know they were like the best. Are they still there?
I don't know. I didn't get a chance to go last time. There.
Oh, okay.
It's up on not too far from my brother's house called Chicken Little.
Okay.
And they broast chicken too, but the best one I ever had. Like if I had my choice of a hot dog, a beef sandwich, or whatever, I'd go to Russell's.
Yes.
Wow. There
Nobody
used
makes,
to be a place. I don't know like
makes,
how far. Go ahead.
Nobody makes baby back ribs like those guys.
Well, there is a place where in the town I was born at, where they had a fantastic place for ribs. But I don't know how far south you've been, you know, since you grew up in the same state here. But there is a place near Glenwood. Okay, I'm not sure if you've been out that far south. And there is a place that made killer beef sandwiches. that I was never able to find a place like that until last year. There is a place not far from me, a little south of me. Oh, my God, for $3, you get fries, you get a beef sandwich. I mean, they load it on there, and it's just, ugh. You could eat, like, one right after another if you were that kind of pig. You know what I mean? Yeah, if you could stomach all that. But, yeah, it's very rare to find a really good place for beef sandwiches anymore.
Yeah.
There's a Johnny's right by my house. I go there.
Well, I could travel 6 hours south and head to Philly and get an authentic Philly cheesesteak. Now that's the bomb, and I've had plenty. Believe me, when I tell you.
Oh God, I'm gonna have you bring me one and bring me a slice of New York pizza so I can say, okay, I finally tried it. Now, Amanda,
okay.
I'm not sure if you're north or south of me. I'm by 294 and 95th.
I'm by Schaumburg.
Okay, yeah, you're north of me. Okay. Mm-hmm. You didn't get any of that damage the other night, did you?
No. Oh, my gosh, no. That was pretty bad.
Yeah, it was. That was.
Well, the only thing good we got up on all of yous is the lobsters that like to go from Maine to Rhode Island into my plate, you know?
Now, where is a good place for seafood in Massachusetts? Is there, like, to get fresh?
Yeah, well, the thing is, from, like, Maine to Rhode Island, all through New England, they tried to push Red Lobster on us, and all the Red Lobsters closed down within the first year, because each little town, each little city has their favorite little, you know, local joint that has fresh seafood coming in, you know, daily. So, you know, it depends on where you go. Like, there's two restaurants where I'm at. One of them was on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. It's called Evelyn's in Tiverton. Guy Fieri came out there twice because he was dumbfounded with, we make lobster chow mein. You know, mm-hmm. and our chow mein noodles are totally different than what the rest of the country is used to. We have a totally different style. But, you know, you pay for the lobster, obviously, but, you know, it's a whole lobster cut up with the gravy, the vegetables, the whole nine yards thrown into chow mein. And, like, he went back there for the second time strictly for the lobster chow mein, you know.
Right.
And, like, shellfish, clams, quahogs, steamers, cherry stones, all that stuff. I mean, you can go to the beachfront over here and dig them up yourself.
Right.
You know, but I mean,
now, do you have like a specialty fish that you only get like
cod.
On the East Coast? Cod? Okay.
Well, the it's not a specialty fish, but we got predominantly a Portuguese population where I'm at, and they were all cod fishermen. So we have a lot of salted cod, which the Latin population too. They make a certain kind of codfish cake along with the Portuguese. They're similar in recipe, but they taste a little bit different. So cod is one of the biggest sellers, and right now cod is up there in price because they've limited the how much the fishing boats can bring in. But, I mean, locally, what people normally do is get a big bowl of New England clam chowder, and they'll get 12 clam cakes. Well, you guys know clam cakes as hush puppies. But I had a hush puppy when I was living in the Midwest, and that ain't nothing but a damn dough ball.
They're nasty. I know, they're nasty.
Clam cakes here are huge. They're about the size of a baseball, and it's that dough consistency, but there's all chopped up clams inside of it.
Right.
Totally different experience than hush puppies. Absolutely. And, I mean, they're
fresh.
I won't
eat a hush puppy.
You can't make clam cakes and have them sit in a basket like fries and just distribute it. They have to be made to order. So you get them right from the fryolator right to your mouth where it's, like, piping hot. But that's the way it has to be eaten. You can't, like, You can't let that shit sit because you're going to land up sick, you know. And that's another thing. With dealing with fresh seafood, the flavor and the taste is so much better because it's fresh, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You guys get a lot of, like, when I lived out in Michigan and I was in the South Bend area, everything was about lobsters. And I go for a lobster and they give me the, and I'm like, what the hell is that? And they're like, that's a lobster.
Yeah.
I said, that's a lobster tail. I said, where's the rest of the lobster? Oh, we don't do it like that. I said, what you're telling me is this is frozen. And they're like, pretty much. I'm like, you can take it back. And you know what I ordered from that place? A cheeseburger. Because I ain't eating no frozen seafood. I'm spoiled. So.
Well, no, I mean, it's not a question of being spoiled. It's just a question of what tastes right. You know, there used to be a place not far south of me where it was all seafood. I mean fresh seafood, the huge lobsters. Not a lobster tail, but the lobsters themselves. You know what I mean? And I only went there once, and I had an Australian lobster. Oh, my God. I thought it'd be like a roly poly and have to be rolled out of there. You know, but it was amazing.
Those are the Australian lobsters are like the lobsters in Bermuda. They're called is it spiny lobsters? They don't develop the claws that we get here in Maine in the cold water, because really you get a decent sized lobster, the claws can hold just as much meat as the tail. So it's like having like two tails. So those are a little bit different in taste, where a Maine lobster, in this area, the lobsters here, they're very sweet. And the other ones, they're not as sweet. That's just like when you get blue crab out of Maryland, it tastes a lot different than the blue crab here. You know, blue crab in Maryland is off the hook. You ain't going to get a better crab cake than going down to Maryland and getting that fresh right in the, you know, the city and stuff.
Oh, no,
and
a friend of mine came in from Maryland with fresh crab from there and made crab cake, the Maryland crab cake. Oh, my God. Oh, talk about
good
to
stuff.
Die for. Yeah.
Yep. Good stuff. Absolutely.
Well, now that we're talking about food, no.
Bill, where's Bill?
I'm not sure.
He must have got sidetracked. Sidetracked in a conversation.
Getting ready for his trip. He's talking about I was getting antsy and wanted to leave today, so maybe they left today. I'm not sure.
That's good for him.
Earlier.
Well, he deserves to have a good time.
Yep. Agreed.
Other than that, I'm not sure about anything, what he's doing. I just know what he told me, and he said he'd be here, so we'll see. Shows up. Otherwise, I'm gonna cut out of here in about 10 minutes. But hold on 1 second. So Amanda, if you had the choice, you could have West Coast, Midwest, or East Coast food. Which one?
I would have to stay with the where I am, Midwest, because that's what I'm used to. I mean, I've been to quite a few places. Like I've been to your neck of the woods. And I already get enough Mexican food because my husband's Mexican. So, and I've been to like New Orleans and Florida, and have had plenty of seafood there. And I'm not much of a seafood person because my mom didn't really make fish or anything when we were growing up. So, I'll stick to my steak and potatoes and hot dogs.
I will say this, when I lived in that South Bend Niles area, I couldn't get over the barbecue. Like, people with porta pits right on the side of the road, oh, and whole chicken, and, like, homemade family recipes handed down generation. No restaurant involved. But, like, they would sell out in a couple of hours because they were just known for, you know, the way they made their barbecue sauce, how they cooked their chicken, their ribs. And I had, you know, a couple of different guys that I used to look forward to seeing, you know, when the seasons changed, that they were out with their porta pits, and I'm like, oh my God. Yeah, I mean, barbecue is off the hook in the Midwest. They know how to cook their meats, that's for sure. When you're saying like meat and potatoes, absolutely. I agree with that 100%.
Yeah. Gotta go to Texas for barbecue.
Yeah, I haven't been that far south. I've been to Florida, and I was in Texas, but briefly, Dallas International Airport, so I really didn't get to see the sights, you know, but airport food is not, you know, any way to judge to anybody's food, so.
Definitely not.
All right, Amanda, we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thank you.
All right. You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks.
So, yeah, I just got a message from my friend Andy McPhee. He's doing, he's going to be filming a major, or he's offered a role in a major feature that's going to be filmed in Pittsburgh. But he's, you know, working, he's down in Australia. He's done three feature films, two web series, all in 8 weeks.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I remember when he was on the show with us. That was one busy man.
It seems like all them West Coasters are always busy. What's up with that, Phil? It's like all the action happening on the West Coast, huh?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I guess pretty lame everywhere else.
Everybody needs to move to California.
Yeah. How about if we just move California someplace else? We'll put you in the Midwest, and that way you won't forget how the winters were.
No, absolutely not. I'm, like I said, the four-year plan. That's it. As soon as my son is done with high school, that's it. I am never, ever going to shovel snow again. And if it starts snowing in California, then I'm definitely moving to Australia. And that's it.
Yeah, but they can get some, you know, they don't, like, get snow or anything. They just have a wet, cold, you know, winter is what theirs is like. From what
I'm
told.
I don't want to shovel. I don't want to see it. I don't want to know it's coming. I want to sit back and laugh at all the people getting snowed on. And that's what I want. Done. The crazy part is that people out, you know, in the warmer climates of the country, they all, you know, they want snow. They wanna come see it. It's so pretty. Well, live in the colder parts for a couple of years, and I guarantee that you'll be grateful for your warm weather.
Well, you know what? I mean, normally you guys get, you know, more snow than what we do, and but this year, I mean, you became like the frickin' tundra of the
Antarctic.
You know, and I mean, which is unusual. I mean, last year we had an unusual winter as well. I don't know what's up with the weather, but I mean, that was just some crazy ass crap. I'm like, Jesus Christ, what the hell are they putting all that damn snow?
They were taking it away.
Got destroyed. Yeah.
Yeah, they were taking the snow away in semi trucks and dumping it into store parking lots, and
right.
Some of it went into the water, the ocean, you know, because there was nowhere to put it. We had nowhere to put it. People were just snowed in for days. It was absolutely ridiculous. And then a lot of people, like myself, the house suffered major water damage, you know, and that was every other person you talked to because of the ice factor. It was horrible. My nieces to pieces that called in earlier, they were the ones with my brother that got all the ice off this house, you know, because we had major water pouring in. And, you know, for the spring and the summer, we're going to have construction workers here. So it's a never-ending battle.
Story. I know.
Yep.
I know. Oh, just thank God all the damn white shit is gone. Ugh.
Yep.
You know, people don't realize when you have such a brutal winter like how you guys did this year and how we had last year, it's so beyond depressing. If you hear one person say snow or cold, you're ready just to snap, you know, because we're not used to it every single year. It's not the same scenario winter every year. It's always different.
Well, the economy over here took a hit during all that snow because people weren't moving anywhere.
Right.
Nobody was going out to eat. Nobody was shopping because, you know, if you were shoveled out, yeah, and you were able to go to work, you went to work and you came home. You didn't want to be out in the cold. You didn't want to stop for a restaurant for something to eat. You just wanted to come home, get in your house robe, get under a blanket, and watch the television,
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Because being right here where I live, the sun leaves here first, so it's dark by, like, 3:45. Kids get out of school, and the sun's already, you know, damn near gone. So that's another factor. It's like you don't have much daylight. It's bitter cold, and you've got 10 feet of snow, and it's not fun. And Bill had mentioned that one time when he was on the show during all that snow, he had asked, he's like, you know, do people suffer a lot of depression because of the snow? And I said, absolutely. I'm like, you know, when you get hunkered down and you're stuck in your house and they're telling, you know, the state is saying nobody can move anywhere, nobody can go anywhere, everybody's going to stay home till we clear all this. You're stuck in your house for 2-3 days. It gets to you. It does, you know? And then the fact that all you see around you is white stuff. There's no green on the trees. You don't see the lawn. You don't see Mother Nature. All you see is barren trees because they're all shriveled up for the year and white stuff everywhere. And it's not nice. It's not nice.
No, it's not. I mean, you know, like last winter at one point we had 18 hours straight of snow. And I'm like, anytime I went to go look out the window, especially, well, because with dogs, you know, it was like, I swear by grace of God, it's like we're in a freaking Antarctic, you know?
Right.
It was just, ugh, God.
I said to a couple of people, I think this winter was probably the worst winter that I've seen since the blizzard of 78, you know, like comparison. Yeah. Wise, I said to several people, I feel that this winter beat that blizzard by a margin, you know.
Right.
And we didn't get the snow all at once like we did in the blizzard of 78. We got it like every other day, and that was just as bad. So
I don't know. And I remember the blizzard of 78. That was like wicked. We had over like 2 feet of snow, and it was like sweet. But at that time,
yep,
it was cool. It wasn't at that Arctic blast cold or nothing. It was just a nice snowstorm. It was, you know, decent weather-wise. You weren't like, oh, my God, we're going to be like an ice cube. You know what I mean?
Yep. I will be content if I have enough sun before I die that I shrivel up and look like a raisin. I will be happy. Because
there you go.
I can't take
we'll
the cold.
We'll just call
anymore.
You the raisin in the sun.
You can't do the cold anymore.
I don't mind the winter as long as it's not that Arctic blast crap. You know, I can tolerate it. Like this past winter, I was in single layer of clothes. I even had a friend of mine that I've known 20 some odd years. He sent me a pair of long johns, you know, specified for their type of climate, which can get really brutal because they're out in the open, you know. And
yep.
I didn't even have to put them on once. I was so excited. I'm like, oh, freaking yeah, I'm in one layer of clothes this winter. Sweet. You know. But...
If I had to live with snow for the rest of my life, I would go to Alaska and live in the what they call, what is it, the lower 48?
Yeah.
Where you live free. You find a spot on the land, but it's brutal because you only got 3 months to prepare for the 9 months of winter. You know,
yeah.
And that's the reality to living basically free of all entities.
Oh no. So,
yeah.
What's your outlook on winter?
I haven't experienced one since I left.
That's funny because I thought you were going to say 80 degrees with a southerly wind.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Well, yeah, you know, yesterday was a little tricky riding with 40 mile an hour crosswinds, yeah.
Oh, yuck. Mm. That's definitely, yeah.
At 70 or 75 miles an hour.
That's because you drive, like, you know, fast. What's the speed limit out there?
Depends on where you're at. According to the judge, the Caltrans survey said that the road is marked wrong, so somebody got pissed off because they wrote the ticket wrong and got it rubbed in their face.
Good.
Well, I mean, here they moved it up to 70, but what's the like when the traffic flows good?
This guy thought he had everything dead bang when he said, "Oh, this guy went through 6 or 7 gears." I said, "Geez, that's funny. My Dyna only has 5."
Wow.
I'm thinking like 6 or 7 gears. I'm like, what? And I'm not even a mechanic. You know, I don't know anything about that stuff. But I know, my God, 6 or 7 gears.
As well as when the other gentleman asked me how many times I've been stopped this year. Which was 61. This guy makes number 61.
Wow.
And have you been able to all 61 times you've been stopped, have you been able to, you know, fight the system on that and come out successful?
Yeah. Right now I'm, I don't want to say, but yeah, I don't want to jinx myself, but everything's good.
Awesome. Nice.
Now they just turned their head when they just turned their head, or they pull my son over.
What?
Again?
All the time.
Didn't they pull him over before?
They pull him over all the time.
That's ridiculous. Geez. That's harassment. That's profiling. That's whatever you want to call it. That's just bullshit.
Here. Law enforcement in California currently practices and, under the amended language, continue to be allowed high discretion subjective enforcement styles by use of a factor that a person rides a motorcycle or wears motorcycle paraphernalia. If you support the amended language, you are indeed supporting codifying their current practices legal.
They're out of control.
Yeah. So, like I tell people, if you don't want to wrap your mind around the issue, then California motorcyclists would benefit greatly by understanding the bullet points above. In my opinion, it's more capable of helping in that understanding. Hold on 1 minute. Hello, 303, go ahead.
Hey, guys, it's Ryan. How's everybody doing?
Up,
hey,
man?
Ryan.
Hey, Ryan. Oh.
Hey, you know, Bill's looking for a headshot of you, brother.
Is he?
Yeah. So send me one so he can stop looking. He's got everybody trying to find a picture of what you look like.
Yeah, and I'm the guilty party because I brought it up. I was like, what does Ryan look like? I only know what the back of his head looks like.
You know, and that's the funny part.
Well, the only thing
is
when all those. When all those pictures got taken, nobody put you in the picture.
Never do. I think in all of my Facebook and all the time I've been out and about, I've only got 2 pictures taken.
Yeah,
so
and I
have a running joke around here is everybody's always trying to get a face shot, and it just never happens.
Yeah.
Okay,
well, like,
Ryan, make sure you get one and tag us all to it.
I'll see what I can find on here.
Next side.
Right on. Yeah, I'll see what I can find real quick. I know I had to take one for my press pass, so I'll see if that's still around. But so, yeah. What else is happening in the world? I caught a little bit of it, but I've been working around the room, so I didn't hear a whole lot.
Not right now. I mean, we talked about the different foods from different places, and I had my niece on talking about from where she's at, what she likes.
Nice.
The other two usual suspects are giving their take on what they like. And
what do you mean suspects? And we talked about being detained.
And we talked about, because I'm in the city where the Hernandez trial took place, and I was a little bit argumentative of having, you know, the jury get their 15 minutes of fame on TV. I don't feel that jury's faces should be publicized, and they shouldn't be out on display, because the job they do is an important job, and that's it. But that was my argument with that.
Yeah, I'm sure that could lead to certain ramifications if they're out there getting their 15 minutes of fame and somebody doesn't like what they came up with. You know, they're putting themselves and their family in jeopardy, depending on the kind of trial it was.
Exactly.
So, but, you know, it's one of those things, and it's their discretion. They're part of the population, and I kind of see both sides, one of which is their due their privacy and their safety and security for their family. But the other is, as part of the general population, if they decide to step out, you know, not only is that their discretion, but we have somewhat of a right to know what came of the trial from their point of view, so we're confident in how the judicial system works and how they came about their final result. So it's kind of a catch-22.
Yeah, that's what I said. It's like bittersweet, because I can understand where that's important to talk to the jury, but then, like you were saying, possible ramifications due to the nature of whatever is being tried. You know, I feel that they need, you know, to be a little bit more savvy about what they do.
Especially in a high-profile case like this one. You know, they're, you know, if anything, maybe they give them a cool-off period. You know, after the trial happened, you know, people turn into idiots and want to riot and, you know, justify their own source of vengeance or whatever. If they're able to put it off for, let's say, 2 weeks to a month, and, you know, then the jury comes out and talks about it after everybody's come to terms with the decision and cooled down a little bit, you know, that might be another way of going about it. But in the age of instant gratification, everybody wants to know why right now. And
right.
It makes things tough on everybody. So
that's what I said. Yeah, it's like, I don't understand, you know, cashing in on people's heartache, because, like I said, you know, Hernandez trial, that's the New England Patriots, that's right here where I live. And I look at it as, no matter what happened, there's no winners, because somebody lost a son, they had to bury him. Somebody lost a son, they're never going to come out of jail. You know, both families are hurting, both, you know, and to cash in on somebody's heartache, I don't agree with that. And that's what's happening over here. I mean, I know out towards the West Coast, you guys, you know, there's a little bit more high profile with paparazzi and all that, you know, other stuff. You get the big socialites and everything. But over here, this was a major, you know, major thing, back to back with the Boston bomber trial. And I just don't like when people cash in on other people's heartaches. And there was no winners in this, none
right.
whatsoever, the way I look at it.
Well, and I do agree with that. And I also think that because it's such a high profile case, and it deals with somebody that's, first of all, 25 years old, coming into the prime of his career, have a contract of $40 million a year. To be able to have somebody like that and be able to put some sort of a penalty, find them guilty, and make people realize that nobody is outside the law, and that regardless of monetary situation, if you're a famous football player or whatever, you're not above the law unless you're sitting in the White House. I think that that's a good scenario, but you know, it kind of depends on how you look at it.
Right.
Yeah.
I agree.
Got a message. I just got a message from Bill. So obviously he's not going to be here, but He said to say hello and talk to you guys next week.
That works.
Yep, absolutely.
So on that note, I'm going to cut out of here early too. So all you guys call in Tuesday or, yeah, Tuesday, because I got something planned. If I get it confirmed, you'll see who it is, and I'll post it.
Cool, that works.
Get your questions prepared.
Nah.
Perfect.
Hey, and I want to thank my nieces to pieces for calling in and hanging out and listening to the show. They were walking the dog and still listening to the show, and, you know, that's my heart. Love you guys. Thank you so much.
Love you, too. Love you, too.
Oh, aww. Boy, they're still alive.
And on that note, I'm gonna let Kid Rock take us out.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Night.